I have a saying on my desk from St. Andre Bicet, the saint of the St. Joseph Oratory in Montreal, and he said, people are worried and anxious for nothing, that God will take care of everything in the right time and the right place if we trust him. When I hear this gospel, it's a special gospel because it only comes up once every 3 years. It's only in Luke. We hear these characters in John's gospel two other times. And my first reaction, of course, is, I don't know about you, but I always take Martha's side of the story. How many of you are rooting for Martha in this story? I am. I don't want to say the Lord is wrong, but I mean, he wasn't wrong, but he definitely, I just find it irritating. Now, in doing the Bible study this week, I was thinking, what would be an example of this if I tried to think of another one, but I still can't come up with anything better. If I and my sister were in the house, and there was a knock at the door, and Elvis Presley was there, back from the dead or wherever he's been the last 30 years, would you spend the whole afternoon in the kitchen cooking? No. You'd get something real quick, and you'd be out there listening. And this is Jesus' point, is that he's going to his death. Probably, he walked in the door. Martha greeted him and she was probably surprised to see him. We don't know if there were other disciples. The text doesn't say. Maybe they went to Jerusalem. Bethany is right over the Mount of Olives. And so they could have just gone right over to Jerusalem. This is what Jesus would do in that house. He stayed there and then went to Jerusalem and came back. It was less expensive accommodations, you know. And so maybe there were 10 mouths to feed or 12 mouths. Martha immediately went to the kitchen to do her thing. But what Mary heard was something to the effect that this may be my last visit with you. You see, Jesus, in a sense, he's dying. And Martha doesn't realize this. Martha, for her part, she goes in the kitchen. Mary goes and sits at Jesus' feet. This means she takes the position of a servant, or she is one who is actively listening. She's a disciple sitting at the feet of Jesus. Martha is doing hospitality. This is what Abraham did in the first reading. It was one of the highest virtues is to do a lot for your guest. She's definitely doing a good thing. But if we look at that other story of Martha and Mary and Lazarus, we see that both personalities are really in play. Martha and Mary in that story is sitting in the house. Martha's the one that comes out and meets Jesus on the road. See, Mary's a sitter. She's sitting around in both these readings. She likes to be on the couch, you know. You know that type, whenever there's food to be cooked, she's in another room? This is the way she is. She's a sitter. And Martha's house, according to the Bible. Mary's sitting around in there. And Martha, for her part, she's a doer, you know. And she's not afraid to tell Jesus what she thinks. You ever feel like you're sinning if you tell Jesus the truth? Martha wasn't afraid. She and Jesus were friends. They were such good friends that Martha treated him like a peer. Like she knew that he was a prophet or the Son of God, but she also felt totally at ease in speaking to him as one person speaks to another. She comes up when Lazarus had died. She knew darn well that Jesus had delayed till he died. She says, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. She's kind of chewing him out. She does the same thing here. She puts Jesus into play and makes him an accessory to the crime. What's she doing? I have this image of this story. We don't know what the house looked like. I don't know what the kitchen looked like. I don't know what was she cooking in there. I keep thinking it's mashed potatoes. And that can't be mashed potatoes. They didn't have potatoes until the New World was discovered, right? I know something from my history lesson. I know what she know what she's doing. She's cooking zucchini. somebody booby-trapped the sacristy with a zucchini this morning, and so I think about that. So anyway, she's making, let's say she's peeling potatoes in there, and she sees that Mary isn't showing up to help. So she peeks out she opens up the curtain or the shutter, you know, looks out there. Jesus is sitting with his back to Martha. But Mary can see her. Mary's sitting there, and she sees Martha look at her. Martha goes like this. You know what Mary did? Martha closes the shutter. She goes, argh! She's peeling even harder. Before long, it gets to her. She must have been Italian. That's all I can say. She looks around the corner. Jesus still can't see Martha. Probably knows what's going on, though. He goes, get in here. More peeling. Then she has an explosion. What does she do? She comes in. This is a little conjecture, but you know, the Bible wants us to picture this when we pray. And she comes in and she moves so that Jesus can see her. And she says, Lord, see, she doesn't start with Mary. Mary, she knows, is not going to listen. She says, I'm going to play my trump card. I'm a friend of the Lord's. It's my house. Lord, don't you care that my sister is leaving me to do all the work? Tell her to help me. Boy, I'm with Martha on this one. Boy, I'm ready to kill Mary by this time. There's always some character at the house when you have Thanksgiving that won't get off the couch until it's time to eat. Then they come in when dishes are 90% done and say, "Can I help?" You know that type. No doubt you're almost. I'm not going to go any further. I had a homily on remote controls. I heard about it all year from every husband in the parish here. So anyway. Jesus turns the table on Martha, doesn't he? When you put Jesus into play, don't be surprised at the answer he gives. The only other time I can think of that's like this is the one that comes to Jesus with an inheritance issue, another thing that many of you here have experienced. It's human nature. Somebody feels another one's cheating them out of some money of some kind. Who hasn't been cheated out of some money at some point? And he comes in and says, my brother hogged the whole inheritance. Jesus, will you tell him to give me part of it? It's only fair. And Jesus takes a funny approach. He says, who made me your judge? You avoid being greedy. He said, you're being greedy. Let him have what he wants. He'll get what's coming to him. As far as Martha's concerned, Martha's doing the right thing, but she's doing it at the wrong time. Jesus is going to die. If you were diagnosed with terminal cancer, you wouldn't care if your friend is making a big meal. You want to talk with them. You want to be with them. Jesus ducked in there as a friend, and Martha just didn't hear. She was too busy. It reminds me of, I've told this before, but many years ago, I was in North Dakota or someplace. Believe it or not, some of you younger people, I didn't have a cell phone or GPS. And I drove for about 45 minutes in the wrong direction. But I made great time. A lot of people will find at the end of their lives that they've gone real fast in the wrong direction. Say, Lord, I know I went the wrong way, but I sure went fast. Martha's going real fast in the wrong direction. Her GPS is turned off. If she'd only listened to Jesus, she would have realized he didn't want a big meal that day. But she knew what Jesus wanted. She had it in her mind. What God wants is hospitality. She thought of Abraham. She knew Jesus was a special person and her good friend. She knows he's struggling, so she's going to make a meal. That's what she does. She's good at it. Mary's good at sitting, so that's what she's doing. But she wasn't listening. And we can do this in the spiritual life. I don't know how many times I've cooked up some plan, and it isn't what God wanted. We have to be praying and acting. This is really a story of every soul. Jesus wants to be the friend of you and I. Some are closer friends than others. Sometimes Jesus himself allows some people to be closer than others. It's just the way it is. But all of us have the opportunity to make Jesus welcome in our home. Does he have a key? Can he come in any time or only when it's clean? Do we exclude him from certain rooms or certain times? I don't want you in here now. I'm busy, Lord. Or I'm sinned too much. Don't come in. This is exactly when he wants to come. You know, within us should be a balance, of course, between the prayer and the action. If all I do is pray and don't work, this is not good. If all I do is work and not pray, I'm going to be off base. This is a real metaphor for balance in our spiritual lives. I don't know which one you identify with, but we all have a tendency toward Martha or Mary. As I've said before, I noticed the details with Christ. I think one of the gifts God's given me for many years is just, I see the Lord in little things. Sometimes I miss the big picture. Maybe one can't have everything, but I do notice little things. And when I saw when they began to build this church, we can see how big it is now. They started with the eastern wall of the Adoration Chapel, put up the two side walls. That was the first, I have a picture of just that standing there, and I thought, that's the heart of the church. Prayer, I mean. There are many ways to pray. We have the prayer chain, the rosary, you pray in your car, you pray at home, you do Lectio Divina, centering prayer, whatever it is you do. But for us, Jesus' presence is everything. It's the foundation of what we do. If Christ isn't the center of the building, it's useless. If we put up a palace, but Christ, we're not talking to him, what good is it? We serve dinners, but we pray. You see? So I saw that as a sign. And I think there should be a balance here. I talk to people all the time at the end of their lives that oftentimes what comes up is one feels useless because one can no longer serve, but must be served. Not only are they Christ on the cross, but they also can pray. And prayer is valuable. It is, in fact, essential. Every month I go to a priest meeting at the Carmelites in Eugene. What do they do for the diocese? Only God knows, but it's very valuable. They don't come out. They don't teach. You might be tempted to think they're wasting their lives. Nothing could be further from the truth. We're suffering in this century from a lack of contemplative vocations in the Church of men and women. One story I want to leave you with is I made a decision last week to go to somebody's 25th anniversary of vows. I've known this nun, she wasn't a nun when I met her, for 40 years. And actually I have two very good friends that are both Poor Clare nuns in different communities. And the other one, the only problem with this thing is it's in Cleveland. But I'm from Cleveland, so anyway, it's all right. For a good cause, I'll go back to Cleveland, you know. So the reason I'm going is because, you know, we're good friends. And I used to ask her to pray for my voice because it was constantly going out. It did that for 30 years. And she wrote me, she said when she started to pray for me, she started getting laryngitis. Never had it in her life. If you've never lost your voice, you do not know how painful this is. And I've got so much to say. But, you know, that crisis that occurred 6 years ago, 2 days before Christmas, and I said, you know, I need to join the Trappists. It's not fair to the parish to have communion services on Christmas Day. But she prayed. She got laryngitis. I got well. I will never claim a cure until I'm dead because things like this come and go, but I've never had 6 years without laryngitis ever. And it's partly because I found out what was wrong. But I think God was saying to me, someone else is supporting you and keeping you going. You see, you think it's yourself. It isn't. Behind every successful ministry, people are praying. Behind every successful person, people are praying. Behind everything we do here at St. Ed's, people are praying. It's not enough to serve dinners. We also have to pray. It's not enough to pray. We also have to serve the poor. St. Vincent de Paul, all the different ministries that we perform here. It's amazing. We tithe 10% of our income to charity. And God blesses that, but it starts with prayer. Before we put the building up, we visioned and prayed and visioned. It's a hard decision. It was made by the church, not by me. But God showed us that prayer is the heart of what we do. So we ask, I think the question I ask myself this week, and I'll throw out to you, is my life in balance? Is there a nice balance between work and prayer, between family and my personal life, between what I do for myself and what I do for others? Is Christ free to come and go in my home? Or do I resist him when he knocks on the door? Do I really know what God wants, or am I like Martha, busy doing my own thing, which isn't really what he wanted right now? Sometimes we're too busy. Sometimes we're not busy enough. Every stage of life is valuable to God, particularly when we can do nothing but pray. We ask God to give us grace so that, like Martha and Mary, Jesus will be a friend to us, and he will always be welcome in our home.